I'm Annika Fittman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vestazen.
And we are
the Fuckboy Podcast.
To be in touching distance of you
it?
Both.
Oh, the just feeling of your shirt upon my fingertips.
Oh, aroused.
Oh, I thought you were going around. Oh, no. You were going around.
Around.
I love to see the one ring.
To all more one ring. To,
yeah. Kath is currently donning a silver ring.
You're saying currently like I haven't been for a very weirdly long time.
I know. I think it's just popping out to me because of that delightful red jumper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is very Frodo.
It is very Frodo.
We're sitting in a new formation today. I feel...
Do you feel attacked?
I feel attacked.
You're giving us big Hobbit energy.
Well, famously. Hairy toes.
Okay, question. If you were a character in the Lord of the Rings franchise, including the Hobbit...
Can we do who we'd want to be and who we are?
Okay, yes. Go, yeah. Kat.
Obviously, I want to be... Cate Blanchett playing...
Oh, God, yeah.
Galadriel. Also, obviously want to be Eowyn.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And Arwen. Basically, all three women I'd like to be.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, the only three women.
But maybe I am a Merry. I'm definitely not a Pippin, but maybe a Merry.
Oh, you're not that annoying.
No, but Merry's not that annoying. Pippin's annoying.
Oh, really?
Merry's like the more serious of the two, but okay, like playful side character. Actually, or maybe I'm a Sam.
Maybe you're a Sam.
I think you've got Frodo vibes.
Oh, really?
I think you've got Frodo vibes as well.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. I'd say so.
Oh.
You've got Harry Potter energy as well.
Guys.
Yeah.
I'm the annoying lead.
Like, no, main character energy. No, because
but like really secretly likeable. Main character.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a big deal that I'm the main character.
But they're flawed. Flawed people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you want to be? And who are you?
I'd quite like to be... I was thinking of a funny joke.
I want to be Orlando Bloom's wig.
I was going to say something like Gandalf's left toe or something. And I was like, that's not funny.
Yeah, I wouldn't... I want to be his... I want to be stuff.
Sorry,
I want to be his stuff. I want to serve him. I want to...
I
want to
be that butterfly, that moth. That he like catches and whispers to and sends off in the wind.
Yeah.
No, who am I kidding? I want to be Liv Tyler, obviously.
Yeah.
Or Legolas. Or maybe I just want to be
you
inside
want to be an elf.
Legolas.
You are elf energy.
Yeah, big elf energy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Big Hobbit energy, big elf energy.
Big Gimli energy.
Fuck's sake. You know what, guys? You can't argue with the truth.
No, you've got Rohan vibes.
Oh,
serious Rohan energy.
Really glad that we've discussed Lord of the Rings because, you know, it's so obviously linked to what we're talking about today.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Also, like, thanks for taking me down this hole.
I know, we're never coming out of it.
But no, we do need to do who are you and who do you want to be?
Oh, I don't know. I think, what's his name? Orlando Bloom's character.
Legolas.
I want to be Legolas.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think I am him. I think I probably am some sort of, like...
Rider of Rohan.
Yeah. Mm. I just... You know, it's a shame. I'd like to think that I'd be some sort of mystical creature that's very enigma-like, but I am just so not that as a person.
Well, I think it depends on who you talk to.
Yeah.
What, you think anyone thinks I'm an enigma? I'm the furthest thing from an enigma. I'm like a fucking golden retriever.
You do have... And that's why the Rohan
big,
is such a thing.
Exactly.
Like blonde locks as well.
I think maybe all your the people on Hinge think you're an enigma. Because it's like, wait, we matched. Why isn't she talking back to me?
This is so true. Anyone who's ever dated me is like, she's an enigma. And I'm like, no. I just have trust issues.
I actually think you serve me, you know, the guy who is whispering in Theon's ear that maybe his name is something like Sneak. And he's
oh my God. So it's like the equivalent of, the human equivalent of...
Peter Pettigrew.
Of Peter Pettigrew. Slash Gollum,
yeah. He's like halfway to Gollum. I'm obviously joking.
Look, I wouldn't mind being Gollum. Some days I feel like Gollum.
No?
Look oh, at- God, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, we all God. Went to a very dark place just then.
Very briefly. Well, you know what? We'll have to play this very same game with...
With, yeah, we will.
What we're doing today.
Yeah. Which is...
Do you, neither of you have seen it, have you?
No, I've seen it all.
Oh, you've seen it all.
Every episode.
For you. I thought you hadn't either.
Haven't seen it all. Seen bits.
Haven't seen film number two.
Seen episodes. Okay. And seen a film or two.
Mm. Right. A film or two. The two films that they're on.
Yeah.
Obviously... We're doing the one, the only Sex in the City.
So good.
Yes.
So good.
And, well, I mean, tell me, guys. You've sort of told me what you know about it. What are your thoughts? What are your memories? Lay it on me. Lay it on me thick.
I just remember Carrie sat at her little desk in her bedroom typing away
mm-hmm.
about this, that, and the other, about
clackety,
dating.
Clackety-clack-clacking.
Clackety-clack-clacking. I remember her walk-in wardrobe.
Yes.
Never forget that. I remember her copious,
in New York.
Yeah, in New York, yeah. Her copious amounts of high heels.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember her in that tutu skirt. Yeah. Was always in the opening.
Yeah,
it's
very famous.
She loved a
tall skirt.
And
then I just remember Samantha being outrageous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember Samantha's hot boyfriend?
From the films.
Oh, the
also
really
the
hot
series.
One.
Sorry, season 6.
Who was also in a Maltesers ad.
That doesn't
maybe
surprise
wouldn't
me.
Surprise me.
I think he might be in a Maltesers ad if he is. We'll put that on the Instagram.
He's a woof.
Yeah.
What,
yeah,
what's, like a what's joke. Their tagline Maltesers like?
Pop it in your mouth and
suck on it. And there we go.
And look, they're not wrong, well, with their advertising.
Ew.
Pop it on your mouth.
Get your head out of the gutter.
Honestly.
Oh, I loved it. I've watched it at uni.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was year one or year two of Lambda, but I watched the whole thing, was like, wow, this is incredible.
Yeah.
Really
enjoyed
it.
It's just such easy watching.
Yeah, and then I got really into, maybe it's called Carrie.
Yeah, oh yeah. The,
yeah, really
the
into
The spin-off
that.
About Carrie's childhood.
Oh
yeah,
my about God. Her first coming to New York.
I actually loved
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I loved that.
Oh
I was
God,
gutted.
I didn't know this what's existed. His name? The actor, at Austin, whatever, the one who's playing Elvis in that movie that they're
oh,
making.
Oh, Austin Butler.
Austin Butler's in it, and
yeah, he's beautiful.
He's one pretty boy.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
Yeah, well, really loved it.
It's just, I mean, absolutely, it's on par with like Mean Girls. It's got that cult status. Everyone knows it. Even if they haven't seen it, they know it and they know these four characters. It's, I think it's had 7 series, 2 films, loads of spin-offs, and it's about to have a reboot.
Yes.
It stars 4 women, Sarah Jessica Parker, who plays Carrie Bradshaw, who's a writer, columnist, and she's sort of our every person in the show.
Yeah, ironically.
Yeah, exactly. And
I
she...
just remember her being so incredibly talented at acting.
I thought so as well.
She spins some really hard to say lines.
Yeah.
She's
a lot of plot.
Yeah, she really is. And it's basically her and her 3 other friends, all in their 30s, heading into their 40s, and it's them navigating life, generally unmarried, dating, fashion, just friendship, all the elements of what makes up a full life for a woman living in New York City.
Exactly.
And so, obviously we're doing this because they're making the reboot. Do you guys know anything about the reboot?
Yes, I know Samantha's not in it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because I know with her.
Yeah,
they're cast. Be able.
Yeah,
like yeah. She's been too busy playing the upright bass.
Yeah, baby. Put that on Instagram.
Definitely share
oh
that
Oh my
on
gosh,
Insta.
That is the most bizarre wow. video I have ever seen in my life. Bizarre.
I don't think I've ever laughed so much at a video in my whole entire life.
It's, yeah,
for
I
context,
don't think I've ever seen you laugh that much.
No, for context, it's a video yeah. of Kim Cattrall. Oh my gosh, my brain. Kim Cattrall with her husband. They also wrote a book called like something about orgasms or something.
No.
I can't remember. It's so good. We'll put it on the Instagram. But it's her and her and her husband. Yeah. He's playing. He's strumming the upright bass and slapping a bass.
And that is not what you think.
No. That is
not their sex tape.
No. And she's there scatting.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This old poem from like the 1800s.
This old woman. I was going to be like, whoa, no.
No.
That I will not have.
And also, this is in like, I would say in the 90s or the noughties. Like,
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
the 90s.
And they invited someone to come into their house to video them doing this
it's
disgraceful act.
So good. The content
so good.
Is supreme.
Have they recast someone who's queer, maybe?
Well, Yeah, so Kim Cattrall, who obviously played like the sex positive publicist Samantha Jones, she's not coming back. And they have, obviously there's been loads of conversations about the lack of diversity. It's such a bad representation of New York City, given it is one of the most diverse cities in the world.
Especially if she's from like the meatpacking district.
The classic
name.
That is a very, very different story altogether. Although there is some meatpacking in the show, let it be said. So, do you guys know about their feud?
I don't know.
I know there is one.
Yeah, I feel like I just wanted to like get it out the way so that we could just talk about the
show
itself.
I do know.
Because
so good.
It's like at the core of why Samantha's not coming back for the reboot. Like Samantha gave, well, Kim Cattrall gave so much of her life to the show. She didn't want to come back for it. But SJP is famously like a big producer on it, earns a lot more money than the other women. Like I think Kim was like, it's an ensemble show. It should be like Friends. We should be paid equally.
Yeah.
And I believe SJP was like, yeah, no, that's not happening. And so naturally Kim didn't want to come back. But there was like posts on Instagram where Kim was like laying into SJP and being like, so basically Kim Cattrall's
this
brother.
This was while the first series, not the first series, but the first section of TV shows and all that sort of stuff was happening. So they were still filming at the time, right?
Or no, this is afterwards. This is when everyone was trying to make reboots happen, but Kim was just being like, no. So her brother died and Kim posted on Instagram. See, this is right a bit of me. I love a bit of like celebrity gossip.
Drama.
Yeah. She posted saying, my mum asked me today, when will that at Sarah Jessica Parker, that hypocrite, leave you alone? Your continuous reaching out is a painful reminder of how cruel you really were then and now. Let me make this very clear if I haven't already. You are not my family. You are not my friend. So I'm writing to tell you one last time to stop exploiting our tragedy in order to restore your quote unquote nice girl persona.
Oh, shit.
Wait,
savage.
So whose brother died?
Kim's brother.
And Sarah posted a, it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, just posted being like, I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, not like I'm sorry to you, but like I'm sad for you or whatever.
Oh my God.
But SJP has very much been trying to like,
smooth
things over, and when people have been like, why is Kim not coming back, she's sort of been like, you know, I don't dislike her, she's always going to be part of this story, like she's always going to be part of Sex and the City, but she's just not going to be part of the reboot.
Yeah,
so sad. And I kind of wanted to ask, because like for me it does feel like a deterrent to not want to watch the new one, but would it be a deterrent for you guys?
I guess. Oh no, I'm really excited to watch this. Even though I have not watched the first two series, I'm really excited to watch this series because I feel like, even just on like a fashion level, I want to watch a show with good fashion.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen that in fucking ages.
Yeah, and I'm also really excited to see a show with like older women at the centre.
Yes.
Like that's more
it's
exciting.
It's the story
than
of women in their 50s.
Yeah,
as well,
it's fucking great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. But I was excited to see Samantha.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes watching it, Samantha was like,
the levity.
But she also was the older woman
in the show
before.
Right.
She was, and like sometimes she was the most maybe relatable, like
the most
messy? She maybe had like the most, shared the most opinions that you did, and like was kind
she was
of
the
coming
most
with yeah she was the most liberal and mm-hmm. and sometimes would like call things out and was like very like sometimes quite a tonic in the show,
yeah, for sure,
which sometimes felt like very like trying to have babies and
right.
stuff like that.
Yeah,
and it was really nice to see this woman who was just, you know, like there's a whole storyline where she has cancer and like has this younger boyfriend, and it's
she was relentlessly sex positive as well, which is just such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. She was cool.
And also it was that thing of being like, she wasn't, you know, being sex positive, I think so often is tried to have that narrative spun in a negative way, and she just would not let that happen.
No, yeah.
It was delightful to watch, actually.
Yeah.
Always held her head up. Like, even in moments where she was meant to be embarrassed, you still were like, nah.
Yeah, when everyone else is judging her, she was like, well.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm me.
Such a shame that this feud has happened.
I think it's always been the case. I think they were just
There's like interviews with Kim Cattrall when they're filming the like first TV show where she's like, "Yeah, we're colleagues. We're not friends, but we're colleagues. Like, I'm happy to work with them and we work really well together. But like, no, we're not friends." And Sarah Jessica Parker is like, "Oh, we're like best friends."
Yeah, but there was later like interviews with Kim, where she says like there was mean girl energy on the set and like
wow.
people could have been kinder and
really
being like Sarah could have been kinder and stuff. It's
it is red flag.
It's so yeah. messy. It's so messy and such a shame as well because look, now we put all of that aside, all the gossip aside,
the actual show.
Yeah, the actual show itself, like why it stood the test of time. These are three women in their 30s and one woman in her 40s. And all of them, bar Charlotte, are barely interested in marriage at the start of the series. They had jobs that they loved. They had fulfilling friends and fulfilling lives. And they just showed us that you don't need to settle down and marry the first man that you meet after your 30th birthday.
Yeah.
And like, no matter how perfect the man is, if the love isn't there, it just won't work. It just told us loudly that if it's not right, you shouldn't settle.
Yeah.
And that is wonderful and exactly what was needed at that time. It passed the Bechdel test with flying colours.
Hey,
yay! It had four women rather than two women talking to each other. And obviously they did talk a lot about like, you know, men and you know, that's kind of the basis of a lot of the show. But they did have other storylines like, you know, Samantha having cancer and Miranda having the post-baby loneliness and Charlotte's struggle with fertility and Carrie's battle with unfair expectations at like women's age, you know, being in her 30s and being unmarried and her career. And there was so much in that, so much nuance that otherwise I had never thought of before I watched the show.
Yeah.
So it is, I think it's so important to have shows of an age that is quite far ahead of you and has loads of things that are unspoken about so that you are prepared for them. Like, talk about the menopause, please.
Yes, I need to know what's coming. Yes.
So, you know, it spoke candidly about sex, from threesomes to orgasms and vibrators. Not a damn thing was off limits.
No.
And, you know, women were no longer at the butt of these sex jokes. Pun intended. you know, it had it all. It had sex, it had fashion, it had friendship, the romance. Fashion.
Ugh,
yeah.
The fashion is so exciting to watch, like even Miranda's like suits and stuff.
Yeah,
like the unfashionable one was so amazing and fashionable. It's so great. Oh my god,
it's so good. And they all were such individual people. Like, of course, they had shared traits, but even like if you saw an outfit, there was a time where you'd be like, "Oh, that is one of four people's outfits."
Yes.
Like one of these four people would fit into that outfit. Yeah, and that's just.
Or I tried on a bodycon dress today with a pair of Louboutins, as you do.
Yes, classically.
And I turned around and I was like, this is so Carrie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it really was. Yeah. It was like a long-sleeved bodycon dress that ended on the thigh.
So Carrie.
So Carrie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so set, like, it's such a seminal sort of TV show, you know, it crawled so that girls could walk and then, like, the bold type could run and all these other female friendship, like, core cast could build and be brilliant. You know, even like Booksmart wouldn't have been made had it not been for Sex and the City. Like, there's all of these things.
The lineage of female storytelling.
Yeah,
exactly.
In my head, at least, it kind of started with Sex and the City.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like you could do, you know, the Miranda Priestley where she's talking and she's being like, oh, that colour blue, you think they're the same colour?
Yeah.
You could do that.
Yeah, you look down on Sex and the City, but did you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Like,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, in Devil Wears Prada.
Oh!
When
Miranda played by
Meryl Streep is talking to
Anne Hathaway.
Yes,
she's wearing a blue jumper and she thinks she's so above fashion.
Yes.
And she says, I love that moment. Think you got that blue out of a bargain bin.
Yes.
So oh, it's so good.
And you could definitely do that with Sex and the City. I mean, it was the first show to say that women didn't need to pair off and get married to be happy. These women had fun. They drank, they had sex, and they worked hard, and they absolutely fucking loved their lives.
Yeah, and they fucking brunched.
They made each other brunch.
Baby. Yeah, they Sunday brunched so we could fucking bottomless brunch.
We brunched on a Monday morning
this week.
We did. We are so Sex and the City.
Sex and the City existed so that we could brunch on a Monday morning.
Yes.
Do you know what else? The thing that I think is so, the most wonderful thing about the show is it just taught so many people that love and fulfillment can come in so many different forms. You know, career, friends, like, of course, finding a partner, but there's just not everyone's ideal fulfillment looks the same.
Yeah. It's like you have two characters who have children, But they have it in completely different ways.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like there's not a set way of doing
life.
Yeah. And it's so both varied. Is hard and both is beautiful and both is yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I really want to watch it now.
Oh my gosh, it's a
great show.
I will
to
say
watch.
Obviously I'm gonna say a few critiques because
yeah,
we have
naturally
notes.
One has to. Obviously, as we said, it is incredibly whitewashed. I mean, wow,
oh,
guys.
Oh yeah.
It's like at Lena Dunham as well, what the fuck are you guys thinking? Just honestly terrible. Like it's that time period. It's just so, oh god, relentlessly bad for.
And you're right, because it's set in New York, which is one of the most multicultural cities in the whole entire world.
There's like problematic storylines. Like I mean, I don't even know if it's like, we don't have to get into it because people don't need to hear it, but like the storyline of Samantha dating a black man, and it being just like the whole episode is about like
him being
black,
fetishized.
Yeah,
as a
and
black
it's just
man. Yeah,
it was just horrible. And in the film, do you remember how they had Jennifer Hudson? So basically, Jennifer Hudson plays Carrie Bradshaw's assistant, and literally is just like thrilled with every little hand-me-down that Carrie gives her. It's very white savior vibes.
Mm-mm-mm.
And like eventually Carrie buys her a designer handbag. And it's just like...
I bet there's a lot of cultural appropriation in the wardrobe.
Oh, I dread to look back, think if I was to watch it back. And obviously the stereotyping of the LGBTQ plus community, like bitchy gay men, storylines of Carrie being unable to date a bisexual man because it freaks her out too much. And you know, the just complete erasure of like female queerness for anything except for male gaze is just totally bin. But they are attempting to rectify it. So the HBO Max chief content creator, Casey Bloys, told TV Line that the executive producers didn't want to tell a story with all white writers or an all white cast because it's not reflective of New York. So they'd be, I can speak. They are being very, very conscious about understanding that New York has to be reflected the way that New York looks today. So they have cast Sara Ramirez, Nicole Ari Parker, Sarita Choudhury, and Karen Pittman in the reboot, all of who look like they all look amazing, and undoubtedly they'll make a like much more rich and interesting storyline.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
excited.
Yeah.
Praise be. Thank God for that. Obviously there's also loads of like terrible materialism, but look guys,
materialism.
Yeah.
Well, it's a cosmopolitan city about women who love fashion. I mean,
yeah.
Sign me up. Go. It's not going to be the one complaining.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that Carrie's like agreeing to marry the worst man in the whole entire world if he just buys her a walk-in wardrobe.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, I'm literally looking at you like, and I go like, yeah, you do that.
I fucking do that.
Fair.
Maybe not
fair.
Marry. Marry's a step too far, but I'll date you if you give me a walk-in wardrobe.
Yeah, give me a cheeky blouse.
Yeah, I'll give you a blouse for a walk-in wardrobe. I'll give you a blouse in the walk-in wardrobe. Once you give me the walk-in wardrobe, I'll give you a blouse in
exactly.
it.
And then
even
you give me
that,
your key and you have to go.
Yeah.
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 I mean, that's a problematic storyline. There's like so many bad moments, like when I'm sure that Carrie turns up to Miranda's chemo and is like, I'm having a really hard time in my dating life. And you're just like, oh my
fuck
God.
Off.
Bin. Absolutely bin. And also, like, the ending of the show is so devastating.
Oh, wait, doody-doody-doody.
Well, what I will say is, look, you're going to have to watch 7 series. It's pretty obvious the way that it's going to go. I wouldn't say it's as much of a spoiler
Does
as...
Does she marry the bad guy?
Well, look, you know, you already know what happens because you've
seen
the films.
I've completely forgotten them.
Though. There's no way you wouldn't know.
Hannah's already ruined it for
you. I've already ruined it for you. Sorry. Spoilers, guys.
Ruin it for me.
Basically, what I will say is Miranda is blamed for her husband's infidelity because she's so busy. What a terrible trope. And also after the long-standing message that, you know, these women don't need to get married and settle down to be happy. They all settle down and get married.
Yeah.
Except for Samantha, I think. You know, it's a shame they sold out a bit at the end of the movies, but the series, it definitely stands the test of time. You know, it's got 4 fucking amazing female leads. Each one is strong, intelligent and funny and still worthy of our time 20 years later.
However, the men maybe are not worth our time.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. The men are the biggest problem and fuck me, am I going to go into them?
Oh, I cannot wait.
But I will say there are just 2 quotes that I absolutely love from this series. I'm going to get you to...
Am I going
to
cry?
Read each one. I mean, the second one I think actually is us and I really stand by it, but Go on, H, you can read that first one. So this is what Samantha says when she's like...
Should I do an American accent?
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
I love you, but I love me more. Oh, yeah. I've been in a relationship with myself for 49 years, and that's the one I need to work on.
So brave.
Yeah.
Like, and I know that probably sounds like a very flippant comment, but I think going through a breakup in your... when you're close to 50, that is such a difficult thing to do. Yeah. You have to be so fucking brave to do it for yourself.
Serving me Adele
yeah.
album vibes.
49 though.
Yeah, that's, I know.
Halfway to 100.
Yeah. And you're stunning.
If you didn't know that, Gavin.
Your stunning fucking Malteser advert boyfriend is like, I love you, be with me. And you're like, no, I have to work on myself because I'm 49 and I'm bloody young. Fuck 49 is young.
That's incredible.
But the other, I think this is at the core of the whole show, is what Charlotte says.
Maybe we can be each other's soulmates.
Yes! It's so true!
Yeah.
But do you remember last year when I was like, guys, I think we should all get married.
I think we
should. I still stand by that.
Okay, so obviously we need to get to the crux of it. The men.
The men.
Do you remember any of the men?
Yeah.
Was there a Mr. something?
Mr. Yeah. Big, baby.
Mr. Big. I was going to say Mr. Bing.
I do love the nicknames.
Mr. Big, I remember him.
Yeah.
And
Aiden.
Steve.
Aiden, of course. Steve, yeah.
I don't know who Aiden is.
He's much more of a niche character, to be fair.
Okay.
Yeah, he looks like Ben Affleck, but he's not Ben Affleck.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's my brain.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember Charlotte's husband.
Jewish.
Yes, Harry.
Harry. I remember Malteser Boy.
Malteser Boy, how could you forget?
How could I forget? I remember...
Smith.
Post-it guy.
Smith.
But I only remember Post-it guy because of...
We're going to come to Post-it guy.
The fact that I've spoken about Post-it guy a lot since. Yes.
Post-it guy, do you know who Post-it guy is?
I don't know who Post-it guy is.
You are in for a treat. His name is Burger.
Burger.
Oh, you mentioned him last week when we were talking about this.
So he is like famously probably one of the worst men in like TV history.
Oh, fuck.
But you will discover why. There are endless numbers of fuckboys that appear in Sex and the City. Speaking of them, Carrie says, men in their 40s are like the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle. Tricky, complicated, and you're never really sure if you got the right answer.
That's so good.
So good.
Yeah. From erectile dysfunction to emotional dysfunction, there is no Tinder type left uncovered. So there are over 100 men that the ladies either dated or bonked over the course of 6 seasons.
This is what we want. This is like the reverse of James Bond, where the women are expendable, the men are expendable. Yeah. Thank you very much.
But only 45 of them make it past the first date hurdle. So basically make it past a one scene. And actually, I don't think any of them get murdered, unlike James Bond. So
they win.
Progressive. Okay, so I'm going to take you through the top 10 worst cameo appearances. This is not in order. This is just... some of the I had to narrow it down from 45 terrible, terrible men to just 10. So we have Ned from season 2, a man who Charlotte dates, who performatively mourns at his dead wife's tombstone in order to meet women.
Mm.
Yeah. Jack from season 2 as well, a temporary fling of Miranda's who introduces her to public sex. It's all great until he tricks her into having loud sex with him at her parents', at his parents' house, and they're nearby in the apartment. It then gets worse because his parents walk into the room, and even though they've done that, it doesn't stop him. He keeps it up until the very end, and his parents stand in the doorway of his room and watch him finish inside Miranda.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Because he gets off on that.
Yeah.
What's a little cretin?
What a cretin.
I feel like I haven't actually spoken about Miranda and Charlotte and as characters as well. Like, Miranda is like the business boss. Yeah,
business witch.
Which we love to see.
Yeah, we're trying not to be cheeky like boss bitch.
Bitch. I know, I'm like, surely there's a better way to describe her than this. Even I hate it. But
is she coming back?
She's coming
as queer.
As a queer woman, because I did see. Yeah,
I saw an outfit and I was like, "That is the most queer outfit I've ever
seen."
She's
always been queer,
right?
Yeah.
And do you know what else is interesting? So obviously you have Miranda. We've spoken about Carrie. We've spoken about Samantha. You have Miranda, who in real life is queer. Yes. She was married to a man, and she's married to a woman. But there's been rumors that she's had another affair with a man. So she probably is like, you know, just
One queer. Of us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just nice and queer, as we love to say. But whether or not they've written that in as a storyline, who knows?
We can only guess from those suits that they have.
But I saw a picture of her with another woman. And it looked romantic. They were standing close.
Ooh, well, we
the sexual tension is palpable.
Yeah.
We hope to see. So obviously when she's having all of these horrific experiences with men.
Yeah.
Just. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just there being like, I need to get some pussy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right. If that doesn't turn you, I don't know what would.
Yeah, exactly. And Charlotte, who we should also discuss from the first one, that is so classic her to meet a man mourning at his dead wife's tombstone. She's like, he's been married. He's committed. I don't have to feel weird because the wife's dead. Fantastic. She does want like that sort of typical.
She's quite vanilla.
Yeah. But then, do you know what's funny? There's been this thing called the woke Charlotte meme where they, it's a particular Instagram account. I can't remember the name of it now, but we'll put it on Instagram for sure. And she's taken, whenever, like, there's a couple of really problematic storylines, like, there's this one where Samantha uses a slur word for, I guess they're probably transgender women.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And they're just using, she's using slurs for them and she's being really derogatory. And Charlotte is like really like defensive of them. And she just, I mean, it's not as is written in the memes, but it's this weird sort of thing where Charlotte's always been really woke. She's like an art dealer. She kind of, she's like...
She's not a chill girl.
She's not a chill girl.
She's not fucking pretending that she's chill.
She kind of gives like, I know me what I want. Hermione vibes.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, I think she's Virgo energy.
She's big Virgo energy.
Yeah. I remember watching Sex and the City and thinking that she was so unbelievably beautiful and that wanted to kind of ruin her.
Yeah.
You know, because she's so perfect and put together and I was like,
A rip on her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. A corset tied 2 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like, there's a lot of joy in that because she is actually like underneath it all a very liberal and lovely person. So it's quite nice to watch like that kind of person let their hair down, you know, rather than like a Karen who's really like uptight and also right wing. You're like, don't you drink. You're already bad enough as you are.
Yeah.
And you know, what Charlotte wants from life, even though she kind of, a lot of her storylines, she'll be accidentally judgmental, but it's quite nice to like watch her grow and her mind expand.
Mm.
You know,
and the heart wants what the heart wants.
The heart
exactly.
Does.
So yeah, very funny to watch her go through all of her terrible dating experiences. Back to it, we have Giles from season 3, who is a man.
Giles.
A man who leaves. I know, as if his name isn't bad enough. He's a man who leaves money on Carrie's bedside after a one-night stand.
I'd be fine with that.
Look, we wouldn't be mad about it, but it's a problematic storyline, and we know that.
I wouldn't feel good about it for the first 10 minutes.
It depends how much it was.
Yeah.
If it was a tenner, fuck off.
Fuck off.
I'd also be like, fuck, I like didn't know I was working. I didn't know I was on the clock, so that's...
Oh, yeah, no,
and sex
sure.
work is probably the hardest like work in the whole entire world.
So. You don't decide my rate, I decide it.
Yeah.
You can ask me and then you can leave the check.
Yeah, if I'd known I was on the clock, Jesus, I would have been charging...
Way more.
Good dollar. We have Michael, who is a man who, after the most agonising series of unsubtle head-pushing...
Oh, no.
He tells Charlotte that if she wouldn't give him blowjobs, he'd find them somewhere else.
Oh, my God.
What a charmer.
What's his name? Michael.
Michael.
Bore off Michael.
Bore off Michael. We have Don, a man who couldn't have sex with Samantha unless his favourite sports team won. A classic.
Oh, my God. That actually sounds a bit too familiar. Sick. Do you know what I mean? How many people do that?
Is definitely a thing.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We have Arthur, who is a man that Charlotte dates, where it transpires that he just loves punching people in the face over, like, tiny infractions. When he punches a waiter in the face because he says that he can't alter the menu, he just keeps punching people in the face.
He's like Ben Stiller in Friends. Yeah. Just, like, really angry, unnecessarily.
Imagine pitching that, being like, guys, so we've got the guy with the erectile dysfunction, we've got the guy who's got intimacy issues. How about a guy who just loves punching people in the face?
What if he just punches people?
Yeah, what if that's his shtick, you know?
And I was like, and he's like, no, but, like, you know, he just, like, comes in.
Just a lot of fist meeting jaw, you know, action.
You know, classy action.
Yeah. So funny. We have Bill Kelly, who is a man who wants to pee on Carrie and dumps her when she says no.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
If Miranda can Miranda. No, if Charlotte can Charlotte. Then yeah. This guy can.
Then Bill Kelly can Bill Kelly.
Bill Kelly.
Well, then can Dog Dog, because Dog is a man who takes a shit in front of Miranda after dating her for only 2 weeks.
I think this is more he leaves the door open as well.
Yeah, it's like leaves the door open, but more that she's brushing her teeth and he does. And he just lays one down, just does a big old boop in the toilet.
How far into the relationship were you talking?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Oh, hell no.
No, Dog, you cannot dog.
Dog cannot dog.
No.
Do not teach that man how to
dog. Dog cannot dig himself out of that one.
Yay. We both meant for jokes, they both.
They were, yeah.
We tried. Last two, we have Bram. Very
Stoker,
very Dracula. Which kind of makes sense because he's a man who keeps falling asleep when he's having sex with Charlotte. Yeah. And then the final one, but I had to leave it because it is so perfect. Thomas John Anderson.
Thomas.
Full name, obviously. Because he's a playwright that Miranda dates.
I knew he was in the arts. Yes. Of course.
And he has to shower immediately after sex, every single time. Apparently,
I've dated that guy. I've dated that guy.
Was it because he was a Catholic?
No.
Right.
A Capricorn.
It's because he was a Capricorn. And when Miranda presses him on it, he flips out and then writes a monologue that later makes it into one of his plays.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Tortured artist. Yeah. Doug, man-child.
Yeah, I think all the other ones sound like man-children or narcissists.
Yeah.
But that is so tortured artist.
Tommy is tortured AF.
Oh, the head one is soft boy. Oh, no. I'll find it elsewhere.
Mr. Narcissist, no.
Do you think?
I feel like all narcissists just want constant blowjobs.
Oh my God, that's so true.
Love that observation.
Yeah. I really agree. Guys, I am now going to talk about the notable the big regulars. D's. Yeah. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you about them and then I want you to tell me what you think they are.
Okay.
Oh, I'm obsessed.
So, Skipper. I don't know if you guys remember.
Oh, I remember Skipper.
I think actually we should put all of these people who I'm referencing pictures of them on Instagram so that you can have a scroll and see who I'm talking about as I'm talking about them.
In my head, he's a fish.
And you're not wrong.
You're not incorrect.
He is a fish. No, he's not a fish.
He's not a fish at all, actually.
I got him at the fair. I thought he was going to be a fish.
He is described by Carrie as like a sweet little seal pup, and Miranda says that you sometimes want to club. He has these Shirley Temple-esque ringlets, this whiny voice, horrible style, and this like too cherubic sort of face.
Oh God, he sounds awful.
Yeah, and it's who Miranda dates. It's just an absolute wonder that she can sort of like get it up for him at all, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh no.
No.
He spends most of, if not actually all of his on-screen time, bemoaning the fact that he was just too nice to get any women. And then when he does date one, he dates Miranda, who is the character most likely to be like, fuck this bullshit. Absolutely not standing for it. But somehow, despite his whines, his bad dress, and his very unglamorous job, he still bats way above his league time and time again. The worst thing that he does, he is completely besotted with Miranda and he has this like model level 10 out of 10 hottie in his bed. Miranda calls him. He dumps this woman mid-sex. Mid-sex. Oh, he's inside her and he dumps her. Because Miranda gives him one. I mean, I love that Miranda has that him wrapped around her finger like that, but.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
So what's appealing about this fish?
He's available. Like, he's nice.
Is he really hot?
No, he's not hot.
He's like a plaything.
So how come he's fucking a 10 out of 10?
Because I guess he's emotionally unavailable to the 10 out of 10 because he's in love with
and
Miranda.
The 10 out of 10 is going for him.
Yeah, have a look up.
10 out of 10 is going for him because she's like, I want to date a nice guy.
Yeah, and I think he is a nice guy. He's that thing of being like, oh, I'm just so, like, I can't get any women. A bit pick
bit
me. Yeah.
It's giving me pick me vibes.
I think I'd be that might fall for it when I was younger.
Oh, really?
Or you'd be like, this is going to be really good for me because he's just going to be super level headed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but also there's something slightly evil looking about him as well.
A bit Rasputin.
Mm. A bit like Angry Man.
Okay.
Angry Man.
Angry Little Man.
yeah, he's sort of he's like really sweet and lovely, but below that, you just pierce the epidermis, and there's just pure anger.
Yeah,
what a line.
That. So basically, a pygmy, isn't it?
Yeah, angry little boy.
Okay, so Skipper's a pygmy.
Skipper's a pygmy.
We're about to go to Burger.
The famous Burger.
Okay. I'm just going to... This man is a crime against humanity, so I'm just going to read you his rap sheet, his list of offences. So when we meet him, he's clearly not over his ex. He's a writer, obviously. So Carrie, like, gently teases him about his new novel, and he completely shuts down, behaves abhorrently. Oh, no matter how much she praises him afterwards, he just is insufferably bitter. Then Carrie's own book starts to take off, and Burger's... Yeah. Dropped by his publisher, and he, you know, gets more insecure. So Carrie, unaware that Burger's career has hit a roadblock, she buys him a Prada shirt.
How dare she?
He repays her by making her fear for her life on a crazed motorcycle ride in some, like, bizarre show of chest-beating masculinity.
Of course he has a bike.
So fall for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, would. You like,
he's written
you.
A book and he's got a bike. You're like
faster. I'm so scared.
Yeah. Carrie is like, what the fuck is going on? You're being so emotionally unavailable. You're taking me on weird, like, deadly motorcycle rides. And then they, like, make up. And finally, just when Carrie thinks that they've worked everything through, the infamous post-it note.
Oh my God.
Left in the middle of the night as Burger snuck out. It read... I'm sorry, I can't. Don't hate me. Oh, Burger!
This guy's a writer!
You left us no choice! We have to hate
you! We have to hate you. That is all you can do. You write for a living and you can give me three very short sentences.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I'm sorry, is there anything I can't.
There's not even more than a one syllable in there. Just a duosyllabic word would be kind in my dumping.
Yeah. What a double decker of a fuckboy.
Thank you for that.
Double say that.
Oh my God. What do you think, guys? What kind of
tortured artist. Yeah, gotta be.
Oh, show.
Gotta be.
Okay, fair enough.
Gotta be.
Okay, so we move on to our penultimate terrible fuckboy. Do you remember Alexander Pastrovsky?
Oh my God, was he the artist?
Yeah.
That Carrie dated?
Yeah, so he's a world famous artist.
Yes, I think
and
I remember
his bloke. And Carrie gets taken to Paris by him.
Alexander...
Petrovsky,
of course.
He's got those, like, big, soulful eyes.
They're like, what's a Russian name?
Yeah, literally. And they spell Alexander.
Oh, I remember him.
Like, Alec with a
Alexander,
K. And then
yeah.
Xander without an E.
Alexei.
Oh.
Alexei, that's it. And you can just tell he's just a bad bloke. He's
got I do remember him.
Endless supply of caviar, enormous Manhattan loft, swoops Carrie off on this custom-built romantic fantasy. You know, he took Carrie riding in a horse-drawn sleigh in the snow.
Of course he did.
Indulged her highest fashion fantasies and obviously paid for her relocation to Paris.
Naturally.
Which is, like, cool, but... So, Joy Press wrote, anyone could see that Petrovsky wanted to lock Carrie in a gilded cage, albeit a gorgeous one designed by the best blacksmith in Paris, but still, and throw away the key.
Fuck. That's so good. That's exactly it.
Oh, he's so weird looking.
Yeah, he is a weird looking
fellow. Looks like he's sort of disfigured out.
Yeah, he looks a bit melted, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He treats her like an afterthought, and then when it comes to work, and the loneliness is just so painful to watch that Carrie experiences. But to be fair, they had to write someone absolutely dreadful to make the man who Carrie does end up with the borderline Beelzebub of fuckboys.
Right.
So... I mean, such a brief explanation, but anyone who wants to take a woman to another country and then just, like, make her have no friends or a life, what do you think? What fuckboy?
Oh, God. Just evil.
Bit of an ultimate.
Narcissist.
Or ultimate. Yeah. It's giving ultimate. Me Henry VIII.
He's giving me Henry VIII energy.
Yeah. I'm getting ultimate.
Yeah, he's got a bit of them all in there.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's a tortured artist, he's Mr. Narcissist, he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the world.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just...
It's a bit spiritual.
An easy
telling
thing.
Telling her this... Paris.
Paris.
What an intriguing option.
Yeah. Very intriguing. So we're going to go to the worst fuckboy.
Genuinely all time, right?
Yeah, the man, the myth, the wanker. Like, he is just awful.
Yeah.
Mr. Bing.
Jellabing. Oh my god.
So Samantha refers to Mr. Big as the next Donald Trump in the pilot.
Oh,
which
my
speaks
God.
Volumes, don't we think?
Oh, sweet Jesus. You don't date the next Donald Trump.
No, you avoid, like, the plague.
Oh, God, yeah. So he's, like, honestly the biggest fuckboy from season one, episode one. We meet him as he bumps into Carrie, whose purse spills out, and the contents is just a bunch of condoms, because the storyline of that episode is that she's, like, having sex like a man and feeling nothing. So when we meet him again later in the episode, they have this interaction that I want you guys to read.
Ooh! I write a column called Sex in the City. Right now I'm researching an article about women who have sex like men. You know, they have sex and then afterwards they feel nothing.
But you're not like that.
Well, aren't you?
Not a drop. Not even half a drop.
Wow. What's wrong with you?
I get it. You've never been in love.
Oh, it just gives you the ick. Because like, it's that thing of being like, this was once so romantic, and now you'd be like, shut the fuck
shut
up.
The fuck
don't,
up.
Don't act like you know me.
So condescending.
So condescending. And, I get it.
And like later on, she's like, have you ever been in love? And he's like, oh, abso-fucking-lutely, baby, or something like that. Like, it's like a really. Like,
with your mum.
Yeah.
With my mummy.
It's just so weird because he paints himself as this romantic, but he like only dates supermodels. And judges Carrie for having a purse full of Trojans. But, you know, my God, he definitely doesn't just fuck women and feel nothing. Heaven forbid. It's just like, it's so ironic because he's so frequently emotionally irresponsible throughout the rest of the season.
So, yeah, and like that is the introduction as if he is a romantic and yeah. Not good.
So, well, I'll give you his sort of rap sheet as well. Okay. So, rest of season one, cliche, barely communicates and only responds when Carrie shows disinterest. A classic. He ends the season by introducing her to his mum as a friend and then attempts to make up for it by planning a trip to the Caribbean.
I mean,
again, Hannah wouldn't be mad about it.
But someone's like, Caribbean?
Yeah. And like, they break up, they get back together, they break up. He says that he's moving to Paris. He doesn't, but does he tell Carrie? No.
That actually happened to my friend.
Wow.
He was like, I'm moving to Panama, and then he didn't move.
Oh my God.
And oh my God.
You know, he lived
and then
the corner.
You see them on the 93 bus, and you're like, what are you doing?
You're like,
you should be in Panama.
What are you doing on the 93?
You told me you were dead. Well, horrific, because Carrie goes to a party in the Hamptons, sees him on the beach with a younger model.
Oh, hell no.
She's so upset that she literally boffs.
Of course she does. Yeah, I mean, what else would you do?
She boffs.
That's sickening.
And it's awful. Like, season three honestly cements him as the worst bloke ever. He says that he never wanted to get married. And by the end of that, he's engaged to Natasha.
Oh, yeah.
And then he starts trying to fuck Carrie again, even though she's God. In a relationship.
Oh,
in
God.
Season four, they're just friends, but he keeps like cock blocking Carrie and then tries to break up another relationship she has. Season five, he's supposedly repenting for his bad behaviour, but he still shags her, knowing full well the power imbalance. And the reason he says he shags her is because she's doing a book tour and he's like, you're going to need some content for your new book.
I mean, he's not wrong, but still.
Honestly, get a grip.
Yes, I am going to need content. Does it have to be you?
Yeah.
I can so see how that would just be an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
That kind of behaviour.
And the annoying thing is how romanticised it is and the fact
it's
that they end
so
up together. That's what's so annoying. The character's not annoying. It's the fact that they're so okay with
it. Completely, completely. The fact that they write him in this way and then forgive him.
But it's like that Edward Cullen, Heathcliff, all these...
Byronic,
Byronic heroes.
Yeah. Season six... he has heart surgery, and then when she goes round to look after him, in a moment of vulnerability, he says, you're an angel. You know that? I'm serious. What are we doing? I'm talking about us. Life's too short. And then when he wakes up, he pretends like nothing happened.
Oh, God.
No!
Yeah. That's going to fuck you up so hard.
That's heartbreaking.
So then he sort of disappears for a bit, but he doesn't come back until... Carrie is with the terrible Alexander Platovsky and he's going to marry her and Big comes back in and like sweeps in and is like, I don't want you to be married. Even though Carrie's like handling it herself, she's like going to check into a hotel, sort herself out and Big's like, no, marry me instead. But obviously in the...
Zombie.
Yeah.
Oh my God, such a zombie. Mm-hmm. So true.
And he's breadcrumbing.
Yeah.
And...
Love bombing breadcrumbing, yeah, totally.
And then in the film, he goes to marry her and stands her up at the altar.
That's too much.
And then...
Like Miss Havisham.
Yeah. And after doing that, he just sends like all these... like he's, I think he sends like Keats and all these other famous writers.
Annika famously
he
loves
emails her saying the subject line: "I'm sorry, body, I don't know what to say." So like,
just like try and say something more than "I don't know what to say," maybe.
Literally, and then after sending her loads of like writing, he just sends her another email, the final one that says, "I know I screwed it up, but I will love you forever."
Oh fuck off!
And what does she do?
She marries him.
She marries him.
Excuse me?
She forgives him.
She marries him.
From that.
Excuse me?
Yeah. He's a terrible bloke.
Wait, so they have another wedding?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you joking? That's how it ends?
That's how it ends. That's how bad it is.
Are you joking?
Yeah, that is the storyline. Yeah.
Terrible. Oh, for God's sake.
I know.
I hope in this remake they're divorced.
Good point.
No, they do start it together. There's in the trailer, they're kissing.
Oh, I hope she divorces him.
I hope she gets a delicious settle model. Yeah.
So what do you think? Ultimate fuckboy?
Yes.
Ultimate zombie, such a narcissist. Yeah,
absolutely.
He's less sinister, I think, than Alexander, maybe?
But pretty sinister.
But very sinister.
He made it get to the point where she was walking down the aisle.
Yeah, yeah, okay, I take it back.
And that's when he pulled out.
I take it back, I was thinking about the gilded cage.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It is true. I guess he sees her as more of a full woman than Alexander does, but dreadful bloke.
Dreadful.
But then it's
dreadful.
Kind of even worse, right?
Yeah.
Because he sees her for who she is and still treats her in that way.
Yeah.
And how many people do you know, like, in the third year of a shitty thing? 10th year, like, fucking hell, I know people who've just been pining after these creeps for years.
For years and years.
Because somehow, some fucking stupid story told them that at the end of it, they're going to end up together.
Cinderella crux, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so weird. Yeah.
Luckily, though, we do have, obviously, like, a few really brilliant men in the show.
We do.
Like, you have Smith, who's the one who is, like, a 10 out of 10. Yeah. Sticks with Samantha when she's going through chemo. He's like, adores her and worships the ground that she walks on.
Mm. Yeah.
You have Steve, who's like a nice and supportive guy, and he's flawed. He cheats on her. Like, there's loads of things wrong, but he does love her and he wants to be with her.
Mm.
And it's a really nice depiction. Same with Aiden, who Carrie dates. Another nice guy, but just like really incompatible, which I think is a lovely tale in itself of being like, even if someone is great, even if you love them, if you're incompatible, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
But obviously, the actual golden guy that Harold is Harry Goldenblatt, the person who Charlotte marries.
Really?
Oh, he's an angel.
Is he just amazing?
He's perfect.
Absolute angel.
He might not be the most beautiful.
He's not hot though, right?
No, he's not.
No,
but he's funny and kind and the only person who doesn't cheat.
And charming and like...
Yeah, but he's got to be hot as well.
But he like owns the room.
But he is.
His energy is hot.
Yeah, and it's that thing of being like... Every moment you watch him, you're just like, I want
you. You know what I mean? It's not
I
that
like
he's
a bald
not...
man.
I like a bald
man.
Do you?
Yeah.
Put it there, sister.
Yeah, maybe.
Kath, you into them?
Depends who. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, depends on. It does.
But sometimes with him, I'm like, is he not hot or is he just bald?
It's a good question. Is he hot or is he tall? You know?
Good. Another good question.
Yeah. I do have one final question to post to you,
too. Oh, okay. Good one. Who are you?
So... Are you a pun-loving fashionista Carrie, sexual libertine Samantha, incurable romantic Charlotte, or a no-nonsense Miranda?
I'm definitely a pun-loving fashion whatever thing.
Yeah, you're
Carrie.
You're a Carrie.
You're a hard one to place, actually.
I am quite a hard one to place.
I don't know them well enough, so I can say.
Maybe like a Miranda Samantha.
I think you're a Miranda Samantha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hannah?
I think I'm a Samantha Miranda.
Do
probably.
You? Yeah. Let us know what you are, guys.
Yeah,
send us
a
little at.
Okay, so listeners, Kath has just had to leave the building.
Alas, we're one woman down.
We're one woman down.
She was so horrified by my episode. She hated it so much, she's left.
We're holding the fort. It's just me and Hannah.
We're so horrified by the number of fuckboys. Can we just say maybe the biggest number of fuckboys that we've had in
I think so.
An episode?
Yeah.
That takes the...
That takes the biscuit?
That takes the bloody...
Does it take the biscuit? Okay, so I have a listener story for you. So, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. I was at a party and met a fedora wearing guy who was absolutely obsessed with anime. Red flag, people.
Oh my god, a huge red flag.
He told me.
Like, I think not a red flag to be interested in anime, but to be like...
To be obsessed.
Absolutely obsessed.
Yeah.
With anything, even if it's their football team. Absolutely not red flag.
Yeah, no, not good. He told me, by the end of the night, you'll know 101 new things about anime.
No, thank you. Didn't ask for that.
He then followed me and my friends around the party, telling us random anime facts. It was super awkward, and he wouldn't take the hint to leave us alone, and I had never been so unhorny in my entire life.
Oh, you and me both. That is not a vibe.
It's not a vibe, especially not a party.
Do you know what? I guess it is big pick-me energy, isn't it?
Also, why 101?
I don't know.
We're not talking Dalmatians here, Pips.
No, we're not. Cruella is not in the building.
No, she's not. Also, fedora. That's tricky territory.
When you spot a fedora, run.
My ex used to wear a fedora, and let me tell you, it didn't work.
It didn't work out. That's why we broke up.
It didn't save the relationship. If anything, it harmed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Did nothing for the relationship. Tell you what was my ick, fedoras.
Yeah.
Oh my god, imagine telling you on a Hinge date and someone's wearing a fedora.
Do you remember in like year 7 where trilby hats were a thing?
I thought a trilby hat and a fedora are basically the same thing.
So a trilby hat, it doesn't have as wide a rim. See, I think if you're going to wear a hat, go big with the rim.
Go big or go home.
Go big or go if home.
If there's one thing that Hanako says, it's if you're going to rim, go big or go home.
You can't fucking rim tentatively.
No.
You just got to go for it.
Give it 101%, baby.
But not 101 anime facts.
No, thank you. Links for all of our resources are in the show notes, so please do check them out.
Next week, we're going from the bodegas of New York City to the hills of Hollywood, where we get down and dirty with the one and only Angelina Jolie.
Oh, I cannot wait. In the meantime, though, you can help us by rating us and following the F-Boy podcast wherever you're listening.
And if you have your very own F-Boy or F-Girl story, don't be shy. Be sure to send them to our submissions at our website, www.fboypodcast.com. We'd love to hear from
you. Yeah, and slide into our DMs, slip and slide all in them.
Yes, please.
And you can find even more fuckboy on that said Instagram and... very quietly on our Twitter at FBoy Podcast.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom Studios.
So,
watch out, Angie.
We're coming for you.